and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus' death and resurrection are the two sides of the same coin. One without the other is of no value at all. On Good Friday, Jesus died for the sins of the world, including yours and mine. And on Easter Sunday, he defeated death in the grave, and the Father affirmed his acceptance of his Son's sacrifice. Death and resurrection are two sides of the same coin. As St. Paul writes, if there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain and your faith is in vain. We are even found to be misrepresenting God because we testified about God that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise, if it is true that the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. But if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins. If we can't preach Jesus' resurrection from the dead, we can't preach about his resurrection either. If we can't preach about his crucifixion, we can't preach about his resurrection from the dead. As much as that little pronouncement might seem self-evident or worse yet insignificant, the truth is, the preaching of the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ, it's actually suffered greatly in the church over the last couple hundred years. And so people have begun to wonder if the Easter message, is it really all that important? Yes, it is. For those who don't accept the bodily resurrection of Jesus, they have this reasoning that goes something like this. They say that if I believe that Jesus really died for my sins, does it matter if I see his resurrection from the dead as a metaphor of new life, a symbol of hope, rather than a physical resurrection from the dead? It's easy, you see, to believe that Jesus could be nailed to a cross and become crucified. That's easy. It's not so easy to believe that he could come back to life after he'd been crucified. The latter, you see, requires us to believe that miracles actually do take place. And that's something that many people seem to have abandoned in the Christian faith in the last couple of years. The gospel accounts of Jesus' resurrection are written to give us a historic account of exactly what happened on that first Easter morning. They, along with all the rest of the Holy Scriptures, they're the rule and the norm of our faith. In other words, they establish for us what the faithful believe, what the faithful teach, and what the faithful confess. And at the same time, they each have some slightly different details, as you would expect of an eyewitness account of any event. So this evening, we have St. Matthew's account of the resurrection before us. Central to his account of the resurrection are these two women who came to the tomb early in the morning on that first Easter. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, who is believed to be Mary, the mother of James and Joseph, these are the two women. These same two women were at the foot of the cross when Jesus died. We find that out from the last few verses of the previous chapter of Matthew's Gospel. With the central point of any of the resurrection accounts is Jesus' victory over death in the grave. And there are aspects of each gospel writer's account that give us a particular faith and hope in what the resurrection means to us in our day and in our lives. we'd have to say that the two Marys who were at the tomb that morning, well, they were especially courageous women. Have you ever thought about that? Again, not only were they the first to arrive at the tomb that morning to confront death and the grave, they were of the very few who followed Jesus clear through his trial and his crucifixion. All the disciples, in fact, except for John, they had all left Jesus, perhaps for fear about what might happen to them. You know, maybe they would suffer the same fate, might they be discovered to be Jesus' disciples. But Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, they were at the cross when Jesus was crucified. So evidently these two women are pretty courageous. But courage, as virtuous as it may be, inevitably meets its match, if you will, in life. On that first Easter morning, there was an earthquake. The second earthquake, by the way, in as many days. An angel appeared at the tomb and had rolled back the stone. The angel's appearance was like lightning, and his clothing was white as snow. The guards who saw this angel, they trembled and became, like the Bible says, like dead men. Could you imagine these big, brawny Roman guards whose very livelihood was synonymous with courage collapsed onto the ground? You see, courage, as virtuous as it may be, inevitably meets its match in real life. The women, too, were frightened by what they saw. First, they saw the angel sitting atop the stone, something there you don't see every day. But they also saw an empty tomb. So we put A and B together as we rejoice that Christ is risen from the dead. But they didn't understand yet about this empty tomb thing. They didn't know what that meant yet. So they were afraid. Courage met its match in life. So what calmed their hearts, what restored their courage, was the voice of the angel who spoke to them the word of God. "Do not be afraid," he said, "for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He's not here, for he has risen, as he said. Come, see the place where he lay." They could see with their own eyes that Jesus was not in the tomb, and they could hear with their ears why he wasn't there. "He is not here," said the angel, "for he is risen." If the things in life that assault courage are to be conquered, it will be in this way: by the assurance and by the promise of Almighty God. So what is it that assaults your courage? Could it be the loss of a loved one? Could it be an illness of your own? Or could it be just the conditions in this earthly life that we live today? Or could it be the fear you have of your own death? Or are you strong, perhaps because you've never really thought about it, about death and the eternity to follow our passing from this world to the next? As the two Marys left the tomb to go to run and see the disciples, Jesus met them. As he approached them, he said, "Greetings." What the Bible says. Actually, that's not even the best translation of what he actually said. He said, "Kyrete," which means rejoice. It's the same word that St. Paul uses when he writes to the Christians in Philippi when he says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice." That's kind of the kyrete that that Jesus says to these two women. And when Jesus greeted the two women, they took a hold of his feet and they worshiped him. Right there's the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ. They took hold of Jesus' feet, even those feet that had been pierced with nails, and they worshiped him. And Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid." Ultimately, at least in the context of St. Matthew's account of the resurrection, this is the central point of Jesus rising from the dead. Courage meets its match in life, but nothing overcomes the peaceful, calming voice of our risen Savior, who says to them, and he says to you tonight, rejoice. Rejoice that your sins are forgiven you and that the grave has been defeated. Rejoice that that threatens you and tries to rob you of joy has been defeated. Rejoice and do not be afraid. As Jesus has promised, he is with you always, even to the very end of the age. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Amen. Now may the peace which surpasses all human understanding keep our hearts and minds in the risen Christ Jesus.